All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning, good morning. We have an incredible daf, really an incredible daf ahead of us today. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors, our week of learning sponsors, Steve and Terry Zinn, for dedicating all of the shiurim this week in memory of Steve's mother, Devorah Bas Yisrael Yoel, today on the day of her Shloshim, and with Hakaras HaTov to the entire Kehillah for the outpouring of support shown to their family during their time of need. We thank Selma Wolf for dedicating the week of learning as a refuah for her daughter, Naomi Bas Sara. We thank our DAF sponsors, Jacob and Alice Klein, for dedicating the shiur this morning in memory of Doris Zinn, and Aryeh and Goldie Gross for dedicating the shiur this morning in memory of Goldie's father, Eliezer ben Klonimus. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah, and the families in Nechama, and all of those who require a refuah should have one, together with Kol Cholei Yisrael. So with that, let us begin. Brand new parak. Very exciting and dramatic parak, actually, and let's begin. So Taf Kuf Lamed 130, brand new parak. Rabbi, I forgot to send out my brand new parak chizuk message yesterday, but good. Also to those of you on Zoom, when you see me looking sideways, I'm actually looking on the computer screen to see all of you. I'm not looking away from you. I'm looking towards you. Just the computer is set up on the side. It's good to see all of you here as well. Good to see everyone here in the Beis Medrash. Good to see everyone online. And with that, let us begin. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says as follows. In Lohevi Kli Merav Shabbos. So let's remember again, this is actually very incredible because we're going in a progression. The last perek, if you remember again, was talking about the halachas concerning childbirth on Shabbos and what you're permitted and not permitted to do. So remember again now, kind of following in the life cycle progression. So now we find ourselves ultimately going ahead and continuing on and figuring out the halachas concerning bris milah. So Rabbi Eliezer says as follows, in lohevi kli me'erev Shabbos, if you do not bring your utensil, now utensil in this context means a knife for milah. If you do not bring the knife for milah on erev Shabbos, mevio b'Shabbos megula. You can bring it Shabbos, but halacha l'maisa, you have to go ahead and bring it uncovered. In other words, Rabbi say, you could transport it on Shabbos, which is saying that you could transport a knife on Shabbos for milah, but you can't transport it covered up. It has to be uncovered. Now again, we'll discuss why that is. Ubisakana, but if it's a time of sakana, so Rashi says, for example, shegazru aramoim ala milah. For example, let's say again, bris milah is outlawed, and therefore again, it would be dangerous to go ahead and carry an uncovered milah knife. Mechaseu al pi edim. You cover it, but you cover it in the presence of witnesses. So therefore, I will say what it sounds like is this way people could attest to the fact that what it is that you're carrying is in fact a milah knife. Again, we'll discuss what this means in the Gemara. Va'od Amar Rabbi Elazar. Furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer says, Karsim Eitzim Lasos Pechamin Lasos Barzel Barzel. We'll say furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer says, not only can you go ahead and what? Not only can you go ahead and halacha lamaisa, go ahead and carry a knife for the sake of conducting bris milah, but if for some reason you didn't have a knife, what you can do is go ahead, cut down trees, make coal, essentially make a fire, in order to forge metal, in order to make a knife on Shabbos. Pretty amazing. Klal Am Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says, no. Komolacha shef shalasos l'merav Shabbos en adocha esah Shabbos. Anything that could have been done on Erev Shabbos, halacha l'maisa, cannot be done on Shabbos. Now, bepashtos, it seems to be that Rabbi Akiva is arguing Rabbi Eliezer on both counts. Number one, that you can't transport the knife. And number two, that of course you can't start a fire to go ahead and start forging metal on Shabbos as well. Why? So you will say, Rabbi Akiva holds like this. The only part of Mila that is Docha Shabbos is what? Is what? Is Mila. Right? Why? Because Mila can't be done on Erev Shabbos. Why can't Mila be done on Erev Shabbos? Because Lamaisa again, Mila has to be done on the eighth day. So that is the only dispensation you have on Shabbos. But anything else which could have been done on Erev Shabbos must be done on Erev Shabbos. Therefore, it seems to, again, we'll see in the Gemara, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Maal forgot to drop off the knife at the place of the Mila on Shabbos. Sorry, you can't do Hotzah. You can't do Hotzah to go ahead and bring a knife to a Mila. And certainly can't start making fires in order to go ahead and forge metal. Rashi says over Klal Am Rabbi Akiva, Nechlok Al Rabbi Eliezer B'machshirei Mitzvah She'in Dochin So Rashi frames this very beautifully, that the machlokis over here is regarding machshirei mitzvah. Both say machshirei mitzvah are things that are necessary for the mitzvah performance, but are not the mitzvah themselves. So for example, the knife, right? Bringing the knife, creating the knife, that's machshirei mitzvah. So whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that machshirei mitzvah are docheh Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva says that they're not. Anything you could have done on Erev Shabbos, you're not permitted to go ahead and do on Shabbos. Umila, we finished the Mishnah. Umila, she'i efshar la'asosim Erev Shabbos, lo chas ha-Shabbos. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva says, therefore, Mila itself, which cannot be done on Erev Shabbos, halacha l'maisa is docha Shabbos. Good. That's the Mishnah, Bosai. So now let's analyze. Yibaylu, time with Rabbi Eliezer mishum chibuvei mitzvah. Odoma mishum chashadas. Well, so listen to this interesting case. Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Eliezer holds, you are permitted to transport a mila knife on Shabbos, but aloch lamaisa, it must be revealed. In other words, you can't cover the knife. The knife itself must be revealed. So the Gemara is asking, why is that? Why is that? Is that to show a love for the mitzvah, and therefore you're transporting the knife when it's uncovered? Is that what it is? Or is it because we're concerned that people will suspect you of wrongdoing, of going ahead and carrying something that is illegal, and therefore the way to avoid suspicion is halacha lamaisa to carry the knife uncovered. So lamai nafkamina, we'll say, what's the nafkamina? Well, lasi mechus apiedim. So we'll say, nafkamina is, can I carry it covered if I covered it in front of witnesses? Meaning, so two witnesses see that I'm carrying them, I covered it in front of them. So they see that I'm carrying the knife. So is that enough? So we'll say, so remember again, if you say it's because of chibuvei mitzvah, if it's because of the love of the mitzvah, then I have to carry it uncovered no matter what. If it's because of chashad, that I don't want people to suspect me of chil Shabbos, then halacha l'maisa, perhaps if I cover, as long as I cover it in front of two witnesses, that's enough. To which the Gemara says, "I amrit mishum chibuvei mitzvah megula in mechusalo." If you say he has to cover it uncovered, because to show, to demonstrate a love for the mitzvah, then you could only cover it uncovered and not covered. Eli amrit mishum chashad afil mechusal shapir dami. But I will say, if the issue is because I don't want to be suspect of carrying something illegal on Shabbos, so I can carry it covered, as long as I cover it in front of witnesses. So my itmar, am Rabbi Levi, lo amra Rabbi Eliezer, ella l'chibuvei mitzvah. To which Rabbi Levi says, no, Rabbi Eliezer holds this because of chibuvei mitzvah. Both said, the idea over here is to demonstrate a love for the mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer holds that halacha l'maisa, you have to carry the mila knife uncovered in order to demonstrate a love for the mitzvah. Tanya mihachi mevio megula ve'in mevio mechusa divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, the Brayis is explicit. You have to bring it uncovered. You can't bring it covered. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Am Ravashi masnisin nami deka. Ravashi says the truth is the Mishnah supports this view as well. So remember, what we're saying over here so far is that the reason, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you must cover a mila knife on Shabbos when you are bringing it to do a bris mila is why? Chibuvei mitzvah. To demonstrate a profound love for the mitzvah. Ravashi says even that medayik in the Mishnah Diktani, ubishas ha-sakana mechaseyu al-pi edim. That in the time of sakana, you go ahead and you bring it with witness. Both say in sakana, Rabbi Eliezer holds, you can cover the mila knife. But interestingly enough, when you cover the mila knife, what? You have to do it in front of witnesses. What do you see from here? Bisakana in shalo bisakana lo. The only time, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you're permitted to cover the mila knife when transporting it on Shabbos is when? In a time of sakana, a time of danger. But when it is not a time of danger, you are not permitted to go ahead and cover the knife. Shema mina, what do you see from here? Mishum chibuvei mitzvah shema mina. But so you see from here that halacha lemaisa, the reason Rabbi Eliezer holds that you are supposed to transport the mila knife uncovered is why? In order to demonstrate and to show a beautiful love for the mitzvah. Tanya idach. Shabbos, we have another brisa. Shabbos, say that she does Rabbi Eliezer. Remember again, Rabbi Eliezer is allowing me halacha lemaisa. Rabbi Eliezer is a very permissive view. I could carry the knife and forget about carrying the knife. I don't have a knife. I could actually make a knife. I could forge metal, according to Rabbi Eliezer, on Shabbos. Only caveat is when you transport the knife, you must do so with the knife uncovered. And again, in order to go ahead and demonstrate and show a beautiful love and desire for the mitzvah. Tanya Idach, we have another braisa that supports this. Mevio Megula, Ve'in Mevio Mechusa. You could bring the knife revealed, right, uncovered, but you cannot transport the knife covered. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Huda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, No again hayu b'shas ha-sakana, shahayu mevi'in mechusa al pi edin. In a time of sakana, like the Mishnah says, time of sakana, both say, where again, Mila was outlawed, when bris Mila was outlawed, they would transport the knife covered. But Rabbi say, even then, they would transport the knife covered, but they would cover it in the presence of witnesses. Thereby what? Avoiding any suspicion on the part of the transport. In other words, we'll say, it's very interesting you showed. There's a concept of v'yis and nikim. You know, sometimes people say, you know, I don't care what other people think. As long as I know that I'm doing the right thing, that's enough. So we'll say, that's not true. We do care what other people think. I don't mean we care about other people. I know that we mean you care about what every person thinks. But big adol, you have to care about what other people think, because you have to maintain the right image in the eyes of others. And certainly I can't do something that looks wrong, and I can't do something that looks suspicious. So therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer, who allows you to go and transport a knife, Megula, so in regular times, you have to transport it revealed. When it's Sakana, you have to transport it covered, because it's Sakana. But Lamaisa, even during Sakana, I have an obligation of Yis and Nikiyim to not look like I'm engaging in some type of wrongdoing, and therefore I cover it in the presence of witnesses. Now the Gemara asks the Kasha, Ibai Lehu, Eidim Dikamra. Let's talk about these witnesses for just a moment. So now it's Shas Sakana, and I'm going ahead and covering the knife in the presence of witnesses. So we'll say, let's ask about these witnesses for just a moment. Eidim Dikamar, Ihu Vechad. We'll say, these witnesses, are the witnesses, could the witness be the Moel and one other person? Well, so let's say I'm the Moel over here. So are the witnesses me and one other guy? Oh, the Gemara says, Dilma hu utre. Or is it the Moel and two other people? Just a logistical question, right? When we say you need two witnesses, can the transporter, which we're assuming over here is the Moel, could the Moel be one of the witnesses, or is it two witnesses independent of the Moel? So the Gemara says, Tashma. In a time of sakana, in a time of danger, he covers the knife. The Moel covers the knife in the presence of witnesses. I armit bishlama hu utre shapir. So we'll say, if you say that it's two witnesses independent of the Moel, then the Mishnah reads well. Elei armit hu vechad my edim. But I will say, if it's me, the Moel, and one other person, then what is? So we'll say, the way the Mishnah reads is how bishasak on a time of danger nichasehu api edim. Right? I go ahead. I the Moel cover it. Api edim sounds like I'm covering in front of witnesses, which sounds like there are two witnesses independent of me. But if it's me and another guy, we're the witnesses. Then ultimately, again, why does he use that lashon? To which the Gemara says, "El yamr tu v'chad my edim sheruuyim lahaid b'makom acher." Very interesting. I was saying, no, it's quite possible that the Moel can count as one of the two witnesses. I said, why does he use the lashon of you have to cover it in front of the witnesses? The idea being that the two people, i.e., the Moel and the second aide, have to be people who are capable of giving testimony in other circumstances. Namely, as Rashi points out, La'olam hacha edus l'sheikha lafugim yechashad ba'amuhu v'enkadine mamanis l'din nefashus. But ultimately, again, it calls them edim, that they have to be people who are capable of giving testimony in other circumstances. Meaning that it could be that the Moel can be one of the witnesses. As long as what? He's not related, right, or in any way disqualified from giving testimony with the other guy. So we'll say, it comes out from the Gemara, that Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, is that halacha l'maisa, you could transport the knife on Shabbos. But if you're going to transport the knife on Shabbos, you have to go ahead and transport it uncovered. Why uncovered? Chibuvei mitzvah. That's demonstrative of an incredible love and excitement for the mitzvah. It has, if it's sakana, you could cover it, but as it's in the presence of witnesses. It sounds like what the Gemara is saying is, in the presence of witnesses, halacha lemaisa means the Moel and one other aid, as long as they are both fit to give testimony in other circumstances. Good. I just want to put this out now. We do not paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Right, we're going to see, we adopt the position of Rabbi Akiva. We'll see the halacha l'maisa, but nevertheless, the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is quite dramatic, both from a halachic and a hashkafic perspective, as we'll see. Va'ot Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Let's say as follows. Well, so I'll just point out to you something very interesting. Okay, we'll come back to it. Va'ot Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Let's say as follows. Tanu Rabbanan. Bimkom Rabbi Eliezer. How you karsin esim lasos pecham lasos barzel b'shabbes. So we'll say this is really quite dramatic and amazing. So the Gemara says as follows. Quotes the Braisa. In the locale of Rabbi Eliezer, if a milah had to be done on Shabbos, and for some reason they did not have a knife, they didn't have a knife, so what would they do? They would cut down trees. Lasos pecham means they would make coals in order to go ahead and make a fire and forge marble. So can you imagine this? This seems so crazy to us. I'm not crazy, Chasham. But I'm saying it seems so foreign to us. Rabbi Eliezer literally understands the license to perform Mila on Shabbos is not only for the act of circumcision itself, but it's Lamaisa for any of the Makshiri mitzvah as well, to the point, can you imagine, that if you don't have a knife, Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to forge metal, you're allowed to make a knife on Shabbos. It's incredible. So Bimkomo Shal Rabbi Yosef Lili, now this is interesting. Now once we start speaking about kind of like permissive practices, so the Gemara says, by the way, in the city of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Hayu ochlin basar of bechalav. They would eat chicken and milk. Okay. So what's this? Listen to this. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara says, forget about mila, chicken and milk. Let's talk about that. So the Gemara says, Levi ikla lebeit Rav Yosef, lebeit Yosef Rishba. So Levi once went to the house of Yosef Rishba. Now Rashi says, Rishba is tzayde ofos. He was Yosef, the fowl hunter. Yosef the fowl hunter. So the Gemara says, Krevule Reisha de Tavsa Bechalba. Listen to this. They brought for Levi a peacock head in milk. Peacock head in milk. They ran out of cereal that day. Right? A peacock head in milk. Lo achal. And ultimately, again, Levi wouldn't eat it. Levi wouldn't eat it. Kiyasala kamei Rebbe. When Levi came before Rebbe, Amar le amai lo tam shesinhu. So Levi said, why didn't you excommunicate him? So Yosef, listen to this. Levi comes to Rebbe, and Levi tells Rebbe what happened when he went to the house of Yosef Rishba. Yosef Rishba gave me peacock head and milk. Right? So Rebbe says, why didn't you excommunicate him? That's basar b'chalav. That's milk and meat. You should have meaning. Well, so when you say excommunicate, why didn't you tell him that what you're doing is unequivocally wrong? So what's listen to this? So Levi said, Amr le Asre Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Haba. The truth is, Yosef Rishba lived in the city of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir. Vamino Dilma Darish Luk Rabbi Yosef Aglili. And I thought maybe Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir holds like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Because what does Rabbi Yosef Aglili mean? So what does he hold? So listen to this. Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer. Ne'amar lo sochul kol nevela. The pasuk says you shall not eat nevela. Now let's remember again, what's a nevela? A nevela is any animal that dies without shechita. Ve'ne'amar lo sevashel gedi b'chaliv imo. Do not cook the kid in its mother's milk. Es sha'asr mishum nevela asr levashel b'chalav. So we'll say the juxtaposition of the psukim tells us as follows. Tells us that halacha lemaisa, whatever, we'll say, remember again, these two phrases fall in the same exact pasuk. It's dvarim yudalev chafalev. So the beginning of the pasuk is lo sochlu kol nevelo. The end of the pasuk is lo sevashal gudi b'chalivimo. So Rabbi Yosef Halili says, what's the juxtaposition, or what's the nature of the connection between these two phrases? So as sha'asr mishum nevela, asr levashal b'chalev. Whatever is asr because of nevela, right, whatever is asr, ultimately, again, because of nevela, asr levashal b'chalav. So I would have thought as follows. Of, so we'll say, whatever you can't eat as a nevela. So we'll say, so therefore, meaning whatever you can't eat without ritual slaughter, by definition, is subject to the halachos of basr b'chalav. So based on that, I would have said what? Of, sha'asr mishum nevela. Yachol ye asr levashal b'chalav. So therefore, again, we'll say, a bird. Of. Which is us, you keep, right? So a bird, which is subject to the halachas of nevela, right? If a bird dies without shechita, you can't eat it. So I would have thought, therefore, a bird is subject to the biblical prohibition of milk and meat of basar b'chalav. Tamud lomar b'chalivimo. Yatzov she'in lo chalav im. Therefore, both say the Torah says b'chaliv imos. You also remember again, the Torah doesn't just say you can't eat milk and meat. What does it say? It says you can't cook a kid in its mother's milk, which tells us that the only type of animal that is subject to halachas of basar b'chalav is one that comes from a mother which produces milk, while fowl don't produce milk. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi Alili holds that halacha l'maisa, there is no isra da'oraisa of fowl and milk. So we'll say, therefore, again, let's kind of close out the circle. So therefore, Levi doesn't give Musar to Yosef Rishba, because Yosef Rishba lived in the locale of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's Rabbi was Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and therefore Levi assumed that halacha l'maisa, the halachic standard in that town was, there was no prohibition of basar b'chalav with fowl and milk. Hence, peacock head in milk is absolutely mutter. Therefore, Levi says, I didn't give Musar. Well, there's a number of incredible Musar Haskell in this. You see the incredible anava of Levi. See, Levi obviously thought that he was wrong, hence he didn't eat it. Rabbi thought he was wrong, hence he didn't eat it. But yet Levi didn't say anything because Lemaisik, and there are other opinions. So I'll say, sometimes you might feel strongly about something. You might have your hashkafas, your shitas, your mahalchim in life. But lamaisa, there are other opinions. And part of humility is being able to accept other opinions in life, even if you do not agree with them at all. So it's interesting. Rebbe wanted Levi to give Musar. Levi said, it's a different shita, a different opinion. I don't agree with it, but a different shita. So, say, so we know, halach lamaisa, we paskin like this. Well, not totally like this, but we postulate this in that we hold that of b'chalav is drabanan, right? The only isur d'oraisa basar b'chalav is basar behema, actual we call meat. Fowl in milk is only drabanan. We hold that it's asur drabanan. So you can't eat chicken and milk or any kind of fowl and milk with drabanan, but it is not in isur d'oraisa. Interesting. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. So let's listen to this. Ir achos haisab Eretz Yisrael, she'osik Rabbi Eliezer. So let's listen to this. There was a city in Eretz Yisrael which conducted themselves like Rabbi Eliezer. I will say that now, like Rabbi Eliezer means that they would perform machshirei mila on Shabbos. So they permitted not only actual circumcision on Shabbos, but any of the necessary preparatory acts were also permitted on Shabbos. Salach lamaisa, again, whether that means carrying the knife or in dramatic events making the knife. And as a result, what happens? Vahayu mesim bizmanon. They died in their appropriate time. So we'll say, so apparently what it means is, because they were so meticulous with the mitzvah of Mila, they merited longevity. Apparently no one in the town died prematurely. No one died early. V'lo od. Not only that, but one time, the evil monarchy, now generally, when the Gemara speaks about evil monarchy, it is usually a reference to Rome. To Rome or to Greece. So the Gemara says that one time when the evil monarchy decreed upon us that we couldn't do Mila, Val Osa Ir Lo Gazra, somehow that city escaped that edict. So the Gemara attributes the edict not being foisted upon them to the incredible adherence they had to Mila, that even on Shabbos they would do machshirei Mila. Now, again, as I mentioned before, it's interesting that the Gemara tells this story, even though halacha l'maaseh, we're going to see we adopt the position of Rabbi Akiva and not Rabbi Eliezer, but we'll see. Both say, now we come to some absolutely incredible, magnificent, and overwhelming Gemara. Get ready for this. Tanya, mamish incredible. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. Kol mitzvah shekibla aleim b'simcha. So we'll say any mitzvah which Klal Yisrael accepted upon ourselves with simcha. So we'll say, you know, this in itself is an incredible mussar. In life, sometimes you accept upon yourself certain responsibilities. How you accept your responsibilities in life fundamentally frames how you execute those very same responsibilities. So the Gemara says, there are certain mitzvahs which Klal Yisrael accepted b'simcha. And anything we accepted b'simcha, kigon mila, for example, bris mila d'chsiv, sas anochi alim rasecha, kimotze shalal rav, adayin osin osa b'simcha. Let's see, hear this? Any mitzvah Klal Yisrael accepted upon ourselves with simcha, quotes over here, the pasuk from Tehillim, sas anochi alim rasecha, literally, I rejoice on your words, kimotze shalal rav, like one who went ahead and found a beautiful treasure. Rashi says over here, Sas anuchi lemasecha, Amira yichida shekadma l'shar amira. So we'll say, so how do you know this refers to Mila? That's actually a beautiful drasha. David HaMelech says, Sas anuchi lemasecha, I rejoiced on your imrasecha, on the thing you said, on the amira. So Rashi says over here, what's the one mitzvah that was given independently of all the other mitzvos? Which one? Bris Mila. Because remember again, Bris Mila was given to Avram Avinu. I guess you could say Gid Anasha also, but that's a low sase, right? That's a low sase. Ultimately, I guess, so Rashi, look at that Rashi. Sasanach HaMasecha, Amira Yechida, Shekadma L'Shar Amiros, V'hi Mila, She'isra Osin V'sasim Alea D'chol Shar Mitzos, Einan Mochichos Kol Shah, Kigon Tfilin O'Mezuzah V'tzitzis, Einan Kishu B'sadav Arum Beis HaMerchatz. Aval Zu, Meid Aleim Li'olim. So also remember again, What's so profound? David HaMelech said this statement. The Gemara points out in the Gemara Menachas when David HaMelech was one time in the bathhouse and he was naked, and he was very distressed that he was arum. He was naked not only of his clothing but of his mitzvahs. He had no mitzvahs. How could it be that I'm standing here in a state with no mitzvahs? And then he remembered Bris Mila, and he said, "I'm never bereft of mitzvos, no matter what. There is always a mitzvah with me." We'll say, I was thinking about this, by the way, that if he continues, "Gidamina Menachos, B'David Shera Atzmo B'Beis HaMerchatz, V'Nitzta'er Amar Oili She'ani Arum Mikomitzos, Kevan She'Nistakel B'Mila, Nisyashva Daito." So we'll say, so Daniel thought he was naked, he was bereft of mitzvahs, he saw the Mila, and he realized that he always has Kiddush. We'll say, isn't it incredible that, you know, the Mila, which represents the constant mitzvah, also represents the same thing that leads people astray so often, right? So one of the great, perhaps the greatest taiva that we possess is the taiva for niyuf, is the taiva of immorality. So isn't it incredible that the same part of the body which represents a consistent ruchnius in a person, right? Because the Mila is always with me. It represents the one constant source of Kiddusha I have in my life, is very often the same thing that goes ahead and leads us astray and makes us make so many mistakes. It's just an incredible yisod. Not for now, but if I were to say something now, what I would tell you is like this. You know, it's the same idea. The pasuk says, "Vayisrotetu abon in the kirba," right? So the Torah says, Yaakov and Esau, when they're in the womb of Leah Imenu, of Rivka Imenu, so they're struggling. So the Maharal says, why are they struggling? It's because Yaakov represents Kedusha, Esav represents Tumah, and Kedusha and Tumah can't occupy, they can't live in the same space. So it's a constant struggle. Wherever you see the greatest amount of Kedusha, you're always going to find the greatest amount of struggle. So the Mila, which represents a constant and consistent Kedusha, a Kedusha, you know, my tefillin are wonderful, but I wear my tefillin for a couple of minutes in the morning, right? My tzitzis are wonderful only by day. Shabbos is great once a week. Mitzvahs come and go. The only one mitzvah that's a constant is Mila, and yet that place of Kedusha becomes potentially such a place of incredible tuma. It's just this incredible inheritance. It's like the Yaakov and Esav struggle within each of us is all consolidated into that one part of the body. It's mamish incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. So any mitzvah that we accepted besimcha, we continue to perform besimcha. So Mila, which we accepted besimcha, ultimately we continue to perform it besimcha to this very day. Listen to this. The chol mitzvah shekiblu aleim biktata, was in any mitzvah which we kind of accepted. Biktata literally means with quarrel, which means we accepted it begrudgingly. Anything that we accepted begrudgingly, kegon arayas, like morality or immorality, tichsiv, vayishma Moshe sa'am bochel mishpachosav, al iske mishpachosav. Moshe Rabbeinu heard the people crying for their families, and really what he was saying is they were crying over the laws of morality. Adayin osa osa biktata. We still have a difficult time performing it. So we'll say, we did not willingly accept a code of morality. Right? Civilizations or nations rarely do, right? We were not so interested in the code of morality. So we had to accept it. But we accepted it begrudgingly. So because we accepted it begrudgingly, therefore again, we struggle with it to this very day. You know, it's interesting where he sees the manifestation of this quarrel. Deleka ksuva delo rama betigra. We'll say there is no chasuna that doesn't have fighting between families. Isn't that interesting, right? There's no chasuna, there's no ksuva, right? There's no ksuva, there's no wedding that gets off without a hitch, Right? What does a wedding represent? What is a wedding represents a monogamous relationship, right? A wedding represents a permissible relationship. It represents a relationship to the exclusion of arayas. There's no wedding that gets off without a little bit of a struggle. Pretty amazing. Let's see, here we go. Tanya, incredible, incredible Gemara. Tanya, b'shem alazu omer. Kol mitzvah shemasu yisrael atzmal. I just want to point out, what the Gemara is also giving you is a hashkafa, that the way, and this is not just true in a historical sense, but this is true ultimately, again, in a personal sense as well. Any mitzvah, the way you relate to a particular mitzvah is fundamentally rooted on how you accept it upon yourself. If something is accepted upon yourself besimcha, then you perform it besimcha. If something is accepted upon yourself begrudgingly, then you perform it begrudgingly. And this is incredible on two levels. It's how do we relate to mitzvahs? How do we, when I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do I relate to this? Do I relate to this as this is something I must do? I'd rather not do it, but I have to do it. I don't want to go to Gehenna. I don't want to disappoint my parents. I don't want to disappoint this one. So I'll do it. I'll do what I have to do, but I don't want to do it. Well, if you don't want to do it, that will be manifest in the way you do it. But if you find a way somehow to relate to your Avodas Hashem as something that you accept besimcha, then that is manifest in your performance of the mitzvah as well. And it's true with our children also. This is an incredible yisod in chinuch. How do you teach your children about Yiddishkeit? Do you teach your children about Yiddishkeit? It's telling them, this is something you must do? Is it something that's foisted upon them? Shoved on them? Something that they must? Well, again, if they're going to have to accept it because mommy and daddy making me do it, then l'maisa, they're not going to really go ahead and develop a real love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But l'maisa, if you teach them to be mekabel o machu shemayim b'simcha and b'ava, then in Yeretz Hashem, you make it a beautiful Yiddishkeit, a loving Yiddishkeit. There are privileges to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that now will be manifest in the way they conduct themselves as well. So the Gemara goes right around the same idea. Tanya b'shem alazer omer, komitza shemasri yisrael atzman alein m'misa, b'shas gzeres malchus. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Shimon Alav says as follows. Any mitzvah for which Klal Yisrael was Moser Nefesh, any mitzvah for which we were willing to sacrifice ourselves for death, right? For death, the Gemara says, B'shas Gzeres Malchus, at a time of decree, Kigon, Avodas Kochavim, like a refusal to worship idolatry, Bris Mila, Adayin Hi Muchzekes Biadam. So we'll say, this is same Yisod. To put it bluntly, any mitzvah we were willing to die for, Klal Yisrael still has today. In other words, we're strong in it. Any mitzvah we're willing to die for, so we'll say, for example, idolatry. We'll say, do you know what's amazing? Do you know, you look throughout the ages, how many Jews died al Kiddush Hashem? How many Jews were willing to give up their lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And by the way, lest you think that was only religious or pious Jews, it's not true. It's not true. Our history is stained with the blood of Jews who gave up their lives, who during their lifetime didn't live as Jews. They didn't live as Jews. They didn't practice as Jews. They didn't affiliate as Jews. But then yet, in that one incredible moment, when they were forced to choose between their lives and their God, they gave up their lives for Ribono Shel Olam. So we'll say, so you see that Jews, the Gemara says over here, for Avodas Kochavim, I might not be so great in life, but if you ask me who I am at my core, I'm always in Oved Hashem. So that's why to this very day, one of the greatest kochos that Klal Yisrael has is the ability to give up our lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should never have to use it. Bris Mila. So we'll say how much Mesiras Nefesh was done for the mitzvah of Mila. So Adayin Hi Ale Muchsekes B'yadam. So we'll say any mitzvah, and this is the same idea, any mitzvah we're willing to lay down our lives for is strong in our hands today. V'chol mitzvah shalom asri Yisrael atzman alein l'misa b'shas gzeres ha-malchus kigon tefillin. I died in him a roof of Yadam. But we'll see any mitzvah we were not willing to die for, ultimately, again, is not so, its observance is not as strongly embedded within our people. What's an example of that? An example of that is tefillin. We'll say, first of all, think about this, and it's an incredible yisod also. And I know this may sound like a little bit of a heavy question, but like, what am I willing to give my life for? What am I willing to give my life for? So we'll say it's an interesting theological and spiritual question. What would I be willing to lay down my life for? And again, on a chinuch level, do my children know what I would be willing to give my life for? So Jews are willing to give their life for Mila. Jews are willing to give their life not to worship Avodas Kochavim. And we know that. We know that that's embedded in who we are. But then there are other mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael was not as medaktik in. And therefore those mitzvahs are a little bit weaker. As a klal, we're a little bit weaker in their observance. An example, tefillin. Interesting example. So the Gemara says, Dam Rabbi Yanai, tefillin tzrichin guf naki ke'eli shabal knafayim. Tefillin requires a clean body, just like Elisha bal knafayim. So the Gemara says, what does that mean that tefillin needs a clean body? So Abaye says it means that you can't flatulate while wearing tefillin. Rava says you can't sleep. So both say, so that's why, again, people are not so meticulous with tefillin, because sometimes it's hard to maintain a clean body. So because of that, people aren't so meticulous. So both say, so now the Gemara says, Elisha bal knafayim. Who's Elisha, the guy with wings? Who is that? So the Gemara says, Va'amai karilei Elisha bal knafayim. Why do they call him Elisha? We'll say, listen to this incredible story. Why do they call him Elisha bal knafayim? Get ready for this. Shepam achas gazra machos rasha gzera yiso shalo kal meniach tfilin arosha yikaru yikaru es mocho. One time the Romans decreed that whoever goes in and puts on tefillin will split his skull open. Can't put on tefillin. And what happened? Via Elisha maniach tefillin. And Elisha put on tefillin. Elisha defied the Roman edict and he put on tefillin. He went out to the market. Not only did he wear tefillin, but not just in private, he went out to the marketplace wearing tefillin. And a Roman officer saw him. So Elisha began to run. The officer ran after him. Elisha realized that he could not outrun the Roman officer. So what did he do? He took his shalrosh off. And he held the shalrosh, he cupped it in his hands. Amrlei, when the officer caught him, he said, ah, I got you now. Amrlei, ma biyadecha, what do you have in your hands? Amrlo kanfeyona. He said, oh, I have a pair of wings, dove's wings in my hands. Pashat es yado, v'nimtzas bo kanfeyona. So we'll say a miracle occurred, and sure enough, when Elisha opened his hands, the tefillin shalrosh had turned into a pair of doves' wings. Lefichach hayu korin osel bal knafayim. Therefore, I will say from the time of that story and on, they called him Elisha bal knafayim. Incredible. Maishna kanfayona. I will say, but why was the miracle with dove's wings? Do amrlei. I'm sorry. Maishna kanfayona. Do amrlei. V'lo amrlei shar ofo. So we'll say, why did Elisha say dove's wings and not a different bird's wings? Mishum dedam yakneses Yisrael yona. Because Kal Yisrael is compared to a yona. Shnei amar kanfayona nechba bekesef verosebi rakrak charutz. My yona zu knafem maginos ala. Just like the dove, Rabbi will say, when it comes to the dove's wings. Protected. Rashi says, "Maginos alehen, eino nilchamos bechar tumeha ela beknafes." It's interesting that the dove does not defend itself with its beak or with its claws, but rather it defends itself with its wings. Af klisrael mitzvos maginos alehen. So too, ultimately, again, klal Yisrael, the mitzvos go ahead and protect us. So, mostly, there's a beautiful imagery here as well. So, apparently, the dove goes ahead and protects itself with its wings on two levels. Apparently, it hits its enemies with its wings, but it also is able to flap higher than its enemies. So, what do mitzvos do? Mitzvos give us the ability to go ahead and repel the negative forces in life, but they also have the ability to propel us upwards. They have the ability to lift us up higher than the things that seek to bring us down. Incredible. Back to Mila for just a moment. So Rabbi Abba Bar Ado said in Rabbi Yitzchak, one time they forgot to bring the Mila knife on Erev Shabbos, right? So the Mohel had a bris Mila on Shabbos, but they forgot to drop off the knife on Erev Shabbos. So what did they do? So what did they do? They actually something very interesting. What they did is, Rabosai, in order to go ahead and avoid Hotzah, carrying it from one domain to another, they carried the knife through a series of different rooftops and chatzeros and courtyards. So the Gemara says, and this was not in accordance with the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, because also, what does Rabbi Eliezer allow? Rabbi Eliezer says, carry it straight. Carry straight. There's no need to go ahead and gag, chatzer, carry. There's no, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no iser hotzah when it comes to a knife of Mila on Shabbos. Maskef lo Rabbi Yosef, shaloberts on Rabbi Eliezer, adrabo, Rabbi Eliezer hu dishari. I don't think Rabbi Eliezer would have a problem with this. But also, if Rabbi Eliezer allows you to carry it straight through Rosh Hasharapim, of course you could also go ahead and what? Carry it through. If you want to carry it through a network of rooftops or courtyards, you could do that as well. V'chitema shelo b'rtzon Rabbi Eliezer d'shar afilo b'rshus harabim. Ela b'rtzon rabbanan d'asu derech rshus harabim v'sharu derech gagos v'derech hatzeros v'karfifio. So we'll say, so maybe you want to say like this. Maybe what it means is like this. It's not like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer allows you, like we said before, to carry it straight. Carry it straight. But rather, it was like the Rabbanon. Because maybe even though the Rabbanon don't normally allow you to carry a bris milah knife on Shabbos, they don't allow you to carry the knife, let's say, through Rosh Sarabim, or from a Rosh Hayochid to a Rosh Sarabim. But they would allow you to go ahead and carry it. I will say through, let's say, rooftops. Remember again, rooftops and chatzeros are examples of rishuyos, through technically speaking, which you could carry. So maybe the Rabbanon would allow you to do that. So the Gemara says, Mishari, did the Rabbanon allow you to do that? Vatanya, Kashem Shein Mavien Oso Derech Rosh Sarabim, Kach Ein Mavien Oso Lo Derech Gagos, Velo Derech Karfifos, Velo Derech Chatzeros. So we'll say, no, the Rabbanon actually don't allow you to carry the knife at all. They don't allow you to carry the knife through Rosh Sarabim. They don't allow you to carry the knife from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Sarabim. And they don't allow you to carry the knife by way of rooftops and courtyards. Ela Amar Rashi, Shelo Birtzon Rabbi Eliezer Umach Lukso, Ela Birtzon Rabbi Shimon. So rather, Rav Ashi says what it means is like this. In that case, where they forgot to bring the knife on Erev Shabbos, and they transported it on Shabbos by a series of rooftops and chatzeros, that did not reflect the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer or the Rabbanon. Why not? Not like Rabbi Eliezer, why? Because Rabbi Eliezer, halacha l'maaseh, allows you to do what Rabbi say, carry it straight, right through Shusarabim and everything. The Rabbanon, not like the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon don't allow you to do anything. So whose opinion did they conduct themselves in accordance with? Ela Birtzon Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon. We'll say, what does Rabbi Shimon say? Disnan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagos, Ve'echad Karfifos, Ve'echad Chatzeros, Kulan Rishus Echad Hein, Lekelim Sheshavsu Bisochan. Because, again, ultimately, Rabbi Shimon says that Gagos, rooftops, Karfifos, we're also remembering again, a Karfif is a large enclosed area that on certain respects looks a little bit like a Rishus HaRabim, but is not a Rishus HaRabim. Or Chatzeros, all of these areas. So rooftops, Karfifos, and Chatzeros are all considered to be one large Rishus, Lekelim Sheshavsu Bisochan, to utensils that started Shabbos in one of these areas. We'll say this is an Erev in Sugya, which you're going to see, but there's this interesting sheet of Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon holds it essentially, again, all rooftops, and all karfifos and all chaseros are considered to be like one large domain for Shabbos purposes. Therefore, again, as long as the utensil started Shabbos in one of these domains, you could carry it between all of these domains on Shabbos. But of course, ultimately, again, not to utensils, which started Shabbos inside that. So we'll say, so if you have a utensil in the house and you brought it out into the chatzer, you can't take it from one chatzer to another chatzer to a rooftop to a karfif. But rather, if you have a utensil that started Shabbos on a rooftop, in a chatzer and a karfif, you carry it amongst all the rooftops, all the karfifos and all the chatzeros. Good. So that's how they brought the knife on Shabbos. So Bamir Rabbi Zirm Rabbi Asi. So we'll say a follow-up question to that. Mavoi shelo nishtat fubo, mahu letaltel bekulos. So this is an interesting question. Again, let's just want to point out, these are all Erev in Sugya. So we're going to see it. So listen to this. We saw a mavoi. What's a mavoi? Mavoi literally means an alleyway. So we'll say very quickly. So remember again, the Talmudic house domicile setup was you had multiple homes. Homes opened up into a shared chutz, a shared courtyard. Courtyards opened up into a shared alleyway, a mavoi. Mavui, alleyways opened up into Erev Shus HaRabim, public domain. In general, again, I will say there was a great concern on the part of Chazal that people will come to confuse alleyways with public domains. Mavui with Erev Shus HaRabim. So therefore, again, there are different things. You have to make a lechi or a korah, right? The side post or a vertical post or a horizontal post at the end of your mavui so that to demarcate the area. People should know this is a mavui. This is Rosh Hashanah. So watch this. So what about, so we'll say, there's also something called Shituf Mavuos. We'll say, just like you have an Erev Chatzeros, where everyone who lives in the courtyard, right? Everybody would contribute food. They would put the food in one of the homes in the Chatzer. That essentially makes the entire Chatzer the domain of one home and allows for everyone to transport from their homes into the Chatzer, from the Chatzer into the home. There was a similar concept by a Mavoi called Shituf Mavuos, where all of the various Chatzeros would go ahead and pull together food, thereby making the mavoi accessible to all of them. So listen to this interesting case. What about mavoi shelo nishtat fubo? What if there was not a shituf in the mavoi? So the Gemara says, malo taltel bekulo. can you still carry in the mavoi itself? Mi aminan ki chatzer dami. So do we say this is like the chatzer? Ma chatzer afa gavdolo iravu mutlataltal bakulo. So do we say that a mavoi is like a chatzer? And Rabbi said, just like a chatzer, even if you don't have an eruv chatzeros, halacha lemaisa what? Halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and carry, right? You could carry in it inside the chatzer. As well, so if you have a kli inside the chatzer that wasn't inside a home, you can carry that kli in the chatzer. So therefore, again, so too in the mavoi, hay nami avagadlo nishtakfu ba mutla tatlo bekulo. So too this mavoi, ultimately, again, even if there was no shitof, you could still carry throughout the mavoi. O dilma lo dami le chatzer. Or maybe you can't compare the mavoi to a chatzer, why not? The chatzer is lay dalad mechitzas, high less lay dalad mechitzas. A chatzer has four walls, a mavoi doesn't. And therefore, Mirbo says, so maybe the reason if you left, let's say there's an object that was left in the chatzer from Shabbos comes, even if there's no Erev Chatzeros, you can carry the object in the chatzer itself because the chatzer is enclosed. A mavoi is not enclosed. Inami, chatzer is lay diurin, high less but diurin. Furthermore, a chatzer has people who live there, a mavoi does not. Shasik velo amrale velo midi. So he was quiet. He was quiet. Remember, I was like, this is Rabbi Zira asking this from Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Asi was quiet and didn't say anything. Zimnin ashkiche diyasa v'kamer. So sometime later on. So ultimately, Rabbi Zira finds Rabbi Asi sitting and saying v'kamer. Avichei v'ka'amer. Amr b'shimen ben lakish. Mishur mehuda nasi. Pam achos. Shachachu. So we'll say one time, the mole forgot to drop off the mila knife on Erev Shabbos. And the mole ended up carrying the knife on Shabbos. So this was very bothersome in the eyes of the Rabbanim. Why? Because they said, how can you set aside the words of the Chachamim and passing like Rabbi Eliezer? So we'll say, I want to point out something very interesting. Although our Mishnah framed it as a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, what is going to become very clear is that Rabbi Akiva is reflective of the majority opinion. And the majority opinion was, you cannot carry a Mila knife on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer was a minority opinion. So what happened? One time there was a situation where the mole forgot to bring the knife on Erev Shabbos. So he brings the knife on Shabbos. And the Chum are very distressed. How could it be that the Mo'el is setting aside the majority position of the Chachamim that you can't carry a Mila knife on Shabbos and passing like a Das Echid like Rabbi Eliezer? Number one, we'll say, get ready for this. Chada to Rabbi Eliezer Shamutihu. First of all, Rabbi Eliezer is excommunicated. Like that's what I will say. Remember again, this is the famous story of Tanur Shalachnoi. Right? I will say, this was the famous story, the big showdown. Right, when it, without getting into all the technicality now, this was about a tanur, about an oven that was made of pieces, and its status legabe tumantara was a fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer was outnumbered, but yet he refused to back down. Because he was, that's the famous story. Rabbi Eliezer says, you know, if the walls support me, you know, the walls bent in, the river reversed course, lo bashamayim, Rabbi Eliezer refused to back down, and he was excommunicated. He was excommunicated. So the Gemara says, so first of all, we never pass like Rabbi Eliezer, because he was excommunicated. Ve'od yachid v'rab malachik rabim. Furthermore, again, whenever you have a machlokus, an individual and a collective, the halach always follows the collective. Rabbi Eliezer is outnumbered. And furthermore, again, Rabbi Oshia said, I asked this to Rabbi Yehuda HaGozer. So he'll say, Gozer means a moel. Right? This is an interesting lashon over here. Right? Gozer means to cut. So Rabbi Yehuda the cutter. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda the cutter was another name for the moel. So I went to ask Rabbi Yehuda the goel, V'amrali, Mavoy shel nishtatfu bo hava. What was the case, Rabbi said, where they allowed the transport of the knife in a mavui? Was there was actually a mavui? It was actually, Rabbi said, the case that they're talking about, where they allowed the transport of the knife, was actually a situation where the knife was on one side of the mavui, the brismila, the baby, was on the other side of the mavui. And what they actually permitted was not really the transport of a knife across Rishuyos, but they allowed for the transport of a knife from one end of the mavui to the other end of the Mavoi. Now, we'll say, now that is a very different discussion because there we're only dealing with the Rabbanan. So it's quite, so again, we'll have to see how we allow. Are you saying then that if a Mavoi does not have a Shituf, that you're allowed to carry throughout the entire Mavoi? Amar lei in. He said, yes, you can. Although it's not ideal, but halacha lemaaseh, if you have a Mavoi that did not have a Shituf Muvo, so you can carry from one end of that Mavoi to the other. I ask you this question so many times. About can you transport in a mavoi that doesn't have a sheet? If I asked you this, you never answered me. So the Gemara says, Dilma agav shitvach roit lecha gemarach. Maybe it's because now you're in the flow of your learning, or you're in the midst of learning, that the Torah is flowing out of you a bit more. Amrle in. Agav shitvach riata li gemira. Yes, that must be the case. Halacha lemaisa, because again, I'm in the midst of learning. We're talking this out, so the learning is flowing a bit better from me. So, therefore, it turns out that halacha lemaisa, that case where apparently, again, they allowed for the mole to transport the knife, was a case of where the knife was on one side of the mavui, the bebu was on the other side of the mavui. The problem was it was a mavui without a shituf muvaus. They allowed for the transport, ultimately, again, of the knife, but dafka only in that particular case of the non-shituft mavui. But that does not indicate that halacha lemaisa that we're passing over those. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up a mirat Hashem with this. So remember, we're still not finished with this yisodistic machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Now we're seeing the Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. Namely, what can you do regarding Mila on Shabbos? Rabbi Eliezer is saying, halacha lemaisa, anything. You could do the Mila on Shabbos and machshire Mila, right? Anything necessary for the Mila. Carry the knife. Make a knife if you need to. Rabbi Akiva is saying, no, the only thing you're allowed to do is the bris Mila itself. But machshire Mila may not be done on Shabbos. If for some reason you didn't do machshire Mila on Shabbos, you're out of luck, and you'll have to wait till Sunday in order to perform the Bismillah. I will say, Halacha Lamaisa Mirat Hashem. We will see you tomorrow. Incredible, incredible daf today. Mamish.